Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here for VideoCopilot.net. And welcome to another very exciting tutorial. Today we're going to be taking a look at creating several interesting effects, specifically the light as it runs across the surface of the road. So let's take a look at that. So we can see our light travels along the road in perspective mode and kind of gleams across very interestingly. And we're also going to be taking a look at creating a very complex energy ball. And it may not seem complex there, but here you can actually see there's a lot of detail. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to create a new composition, and we'll make it 1280 by 720, 23.976 frames per second, and we'll do a 10-second comp. And then we'll choose OK. And then we're going to create a new solid. And we'll make it comp size, and we'll probably make it black. And we'll choose OK. And then we're going to take the pen tool, and then we're going to click and drag and create some swirly lines. And then we're going to click away. And that way, we create a mask, but we don't actually close it. And then we're going to create another mask. And we'll just make a few more. And that looks pretty good for now. Then we're going to choose Effect, Generate, Vegas. It's at the bottom there. And this is a pretty cool effect. It kind of creates some line contours. And we're going to change this to Image Path. And we'll set it to Mask 1 initially. We can also change the color to sort of an orange color. And then we need to make a few adjustments. So first, the segments, there's 32. We want to change that to 1. And that way we have one long line. Let me just make some room here. And next we want to turn up the midpoint opacity to 1. And then we're going to change the start opacity to 0. And let's also turn up the hardness just a little bit. So now we have our first string, and then we're going to duplicate the Vegas effect. So select it, choose Edit, Duplicate. Then we'll change it from Mask 1 to Mask 2. And then we'll duplicate it again, and we'll change it from Mask 2 to Mask 3. So now we've represented all three masks, and we can go on with the next step, and that is to precompose this layer. So we'll choose Layer, Precompose, Move All Attributes, and we'll call this Lines, and then I'll choose OK. Now, the next thing we want to do is come over here to the Effects, and we're going to type in Offset. And we're going to take the Offset effect, drop it onto our clip, and we're going to animate the center point. So, turn on the stopwatch, move forward to the end of the animation, and we're going to change the center point, and we're going to animate this forward a few times. So now, everything just kind of cycles through. Then if we type in polar, we can find the polar coordinates effect. Drop that onto our clip. We're going to change the type to rectangle, and then we're going to turn up the amount. And so now if we look at this, we sort of have this growing effect that comes out of the center point. Now, one of the things we may want to do is turn up the thickness of the Vegas effect. So we'll go into that comp, and we're going to go through each of these effects and turn the width to 4, and we'll go down, we'll change the width to 4, and finally for the last one we'll also change it to 4. And that should work pretty good. Now the next thing we need to do is feather the outside edge. So we're going to create a new solid, and we'll choose OK. And then we're going to take that solid and create an ellipse mask. So we'll click, drag, and make it just about the size like that. And then we're going to change it to subtract. And we're going to bring this down and turn up the feather amount. And if we take the lines effect, hit F4 or toggle the switch, and we're going to change it to alpha inverted. So now if we bring the expansion in and hide the mask, you can see that we are feathering the edges as it grows out. So now we want to create this energy ball effect. So I'm going to take our two layers and precompose them. So we're going to choose layer, precompose, and we're going to call this string energy. And we'll choose OK. Now before we go on, I'm going to go back into the string energy comp, go to the offset effect, go to the very end of the comp, and we're going to adjust the X position. And just a little bit, and that way our animation will be just a little bit more random as it cycles through. Okay, now let's make a background layer. So we'll create a new solid. It'll be black, and we'll take our string energy, hit F4, toggle the switches, and turn on the 3D layer switch. And then we're going to duplicate the layer a few times, and we want to basically take the rotation tool and rotate the clip. Now, it's also important that the transfer mode is set to screen, so that way we can actually see all the layers as they're blended together. And here's just the trick, is you just want to make a few copies, rotate them, and do this until it seems like you have a volumetric effect. And you want to play with the scale as well as the rotation. And then we can also create a new camera, maybe 28 millimeter, okay. And then we can take like the orbit tool and rotate around to make sure that we fill it in. So here's a view that doesn't look as filled in. So we'll choose edit, duplicate on one of the copies, rotate it, scale it up a bit, and that way we sort of fill in this area. And we also can offset the time of these elements so that there's always something going on. We'll go ahead, reset our camera. And now we have the basic setup for our string energy. So now we're going to create our glowing center. So we're going to create a new orange solid. And we want it to be very light. And we're going to choose OK. And we're going to take the ellipse tool. And we can shut the eye off for a moment, and we're going to zoom in, and we're going to draw a circle right around the center here, and we'll turn it on, and then we're going to hit F, or we can just bring down, and we're going to feather it just a bit. And the other thing we can do is duplicate the mask, and then feather this mask, so that we have a little bit of extra feathering going on. And then we're going to change the transfer mode to add. And then we're going to make some copies. So we're going to duplicate it, edit, duplicate. And we're going to scale it down a bit. So now we're going to create another new solid. And we want this to be a little bit darker. And we'll choose OK. And again, we'll take the ellipse tool. We're going to draw a feathered mask. We're going to hit F, turn up the feather amount. And we'll also change this to add. So this creates, you know, a bright central glowing area. Now let's create a null object that we can make 3D, toggle the switch, make it 3D, and then we're going to link all of the layers together. So we'll take the string layers, hold down shift, and parent it to the null. So now if I take the rotate tool, for example, I can rotate this, and we can see a little bit of 3D going on here. Now, the other thing I want to create is a particle system. So we'll create a black solid. Actually, it doesn't really matter what color. And we'll choose Effect, Simulation, Particle World. And then we'll make a few adjustments here. We'll set this to off. We'll go into the particle, change it to a faded sphere, and go into the physics. We'll turn the velocity down and the gravity down to zero. And maybe the birth rate down as well. And maybe the resistance, turn that up. And turn the size of the particles down. I want them to be, you know, rather small. And maybe change this. Let's see, particles. Toggle switches. We'll change this to add or screen or something like that. So now we have a few particles sort of emitting out as well. We might even turn the velocity down just a touch. So this looks pretty good. We also have a camera, and we can kind of fly around and see what's going on. Now, We also want to turn on the depth of field for the camera. So if we go down to the controls for the camera, we can turn the depth of field on. And then if we turn the aperture up to, say, 50, and then the blur amount up even higher, we can start to get some depth of field. Now, probably going to have to turn this up pretty high. And here we can start seeing a little bit of that depth of field. And this just adds a little bit more depth to this effect. And, you know, a few adjustments there, and it's going to look pretty good. Of course, the rendering time can be a little intense, so keep that in mind. Now, the other thing is colorizing this. So right now, we're going for like a warm color, and that's fine. But remember, you can go into each of the individual elements, for example, into the lines, and go, say, to the Vegas and change one of the colors. You know, maybe we go with like a red color. So one of them's red and the other two are yellowish orange. And that changes this pretty drastically, because then you have, you know, sort of multi-level elements. And so in this example, you can see there's actually two shades of purple that make up this entire element. Now, another thing we want to do is add some rotation to the null object. So we'll hit R and let's keyframe the X, Y, and Z rotation. And then we're going to move forward to about 6 seconds. And let's go ahead and change the rotation amount. So I'm just going to adjust it and give it a little bit of a rotation so that it looks a little bit more 3D. And we can also turn on this draft 3D switch so that we can see the motion a little bit better. And I think maybe if we switch these around, it might look a little bit better going in that opposite direction. So we'll go ahead and turn that off. And now we have our element. And we're going to go ahead and render it out and reuse it for the rest of the tutorial. So we'll go ahead, add that to the render queue. We'll go in here. I like to use QuickTime. Go into the format. Photo JPEG, maybe about 95%. And then choose OK. Set the output. And then render this out. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this tutorial. My name is Andrew Kramer, and we'll... Oh, wait. Actually, we still have a lot to do. I imported our orange energy that we just created, and so now it's a QuickTime movie, and we have our street raw footage that we're going to use in a new comp. So we'll drag that into the new comp button, and we're going to start building our effects. So first thing we need to do is stabilize the footage. Now, it's a handheld shot from a stationary position. However, it's a little bit shaky. So go to the beginning. We'll bring up the tracker controls or the motion tracking controls. And we're going to choose stabilize motion. And we'll turn on the rotation as well as the position. And luckily, there's a lot of good points to track in this particular shot. So we'll take the first track point and we'll just put it right here. And the second point, maybe this dark spot right here. And we'll bring that down. So that looks good. We'll go ahead, make some space here, and we'll track forward. Okay, that seemed to work pretty well. And I'm going to click apply. And then I'm going to choose OK. And now our footage has now been motion tracked. So the good thing about motion tracking the footage and then stabilizing it is that we can then work in somewhat of a still frame capacity. So we can add elements into the shot and do things and not have to worry about the camera movement, just yet that is. So first thing we want to do is create a floor plane that represents our street. So we're going to create a new solid, and the color of that solid is going to be gray. So we'll choose OK, and we'll call this ground plane, and choose OK. We're going to add a grid, generate grid, and then we're going to make it a 3D layer. And then we're going to rotate it on the x-axis. So I'm taking the rotate tool. We're going to rotate it flat, hold down shift until it snaps. And we can even push it down here just a bit. And then we'll take the background layer and maybe we'll just darken it a bit and bring the exposure down. And then we'll take our ground plane, and we're just going to stretch it out since our road is kind of long. Now, I don't want to rotate the ground plane and line it up. Instead, I want to create a camera and move the camera. So we'll use the 28mm preset. We'll choose OK. And we'll take the orbit tool, and we're going to rotate this and move it around until we get it right in line. So I may have to back up a bit and possibly even move the camera down. So we'll go back to the orbit tool, and I'm kind of paying attention to the line right here and also the line that goes along here. And it looks like that works pretty well. Surprisingly, I was working on this earlier. It took me 4.5 hours to get that, so I'm glad that went smoothly. Now, the reason we want to move the camera and not the plane is that way the world space is all going to be level, and we won't have to worry about any issues that may come up a little bit later on. So we can shut off our grid. Nice work. Now, the reason we're using a 3D plane is because we're going to be using some 3D lights. So I'm going to create a new light, and we're going to make it a point light, and we'll make it blue, and we'll choose OK, and we'll make the intensity maybe 200, and choose OK. So you can see our light is actually affecting our ground plane, just like we want, although it doesn't quite look very good yet. Now, let's go ahead and start by making a few adjustments. First, let's change the transfer mode to classic color dodge, and what that does is instantly starts making that blue appear on the ground plane. And that looks pretty good. We could maybe turn up the intensity of the light and maybe bring some of the chroma out of the blue so we get more of a glossiness like that. And we can take this light, we can move it around, we can push it back in Z space, and we're really getting a great effect. And then we can make some further adjustments to the ground plane. And if I go down to the material options, I can play around. Now, the diffuse is sort of that center hot spot. So I'll turn the specular down so we can just see that. This is a great effect right here on its own. It creates just a hot spot. We can move this up, and you know, we got some great lighting going on in our scene. And then we also have the specularity. So we turn that up and maybe just turn the diffuse down, and you can see this always points towards the camera. And so we'll turn those back up, and you can see this is just a great way to add that sort of glossiness. Now, this looks pretty good, but I want to show you a few other methods and a few other techniques for getting a little bit better and a little bit more realistic look. So we're going to take first the street footage and maybe just contrast it a little bit better. And there, that looks a little nicer. Now, what I want to do is create a mat for this ground plane. So I'm going to take the street footage, duplicate it, Control D, and then I'm going to go ahead and freeze it. So we're going to choose layer, time, freeze frame. So now that creates just a still frame of that point in time. And I also want to go ahead and shut off all those trackers and all that stuff that we did earlier and remove all the keyframes except for that time remap. And that way we just have a still frame. And what I'm going to do then is tint it black and white. So click tint. And so now we have a black and white matte. Then we're going to add a curves adjustment. So I'm going to put it above the ground plane. And then I'm going to take the ground plane and set the track matte. So toggle the switch and set it to Luma matte. Now the layer gets shut off, but I'm going to turn it on and make an adjustment to the curves. So we're going to brighten this up a bit, bring the contrast down, and the idea here is to just create kind of a high contrast image of this main area of the street. This looks pretty good, but this area of the street is just too bright, so we want to darken that. So what I want to do is shut off the tint and the curves effect, and then I'm going to double click on our street footage. And then I'm going to take the paint tool, and we're going to make a few custom adjustments. So first, we want to make sure the opacity is low, like 15, 16. And also, we're going to go in and make sure the hardness is down to zero so we have a soft brush. Now, if you hold down Control and drag up and down, you can adjust the size of the brush. And what we're trying to do is darken this area of the road so it matches this area a little bit better. So I'm just going to make a few paint strokes. Nothing too fancy. That should do it. So now that I've done that, we're going to go ahead, close our paint out. Then we're going to take the tint, turn that on, the curves, turn that on. And if we go back to our composition, you can see we have a little bit more even road. And it's a little splotchy, but that's probably okay, especially for what we're using it for. So we'll go ahead and shut that off for now. So right away, you can see we're getting somewhat of a sparkling gloss effect. And if I move this around, it looks somewhat realistic. And if I push that in Z space, you can see it really does look nice. Now, if we want to turn this up and really make it intense, we need to duplicate the ground plane as well as the street footage. So we'll duplicate that. And so now there's sort of two copies that are adding themselves together. So this is pretty much the main idea of creating these reflections. It's using the texture of the floor along with the 3D layers, built-in specularity and diffusion to create, a pretty realistic lighting effect. And this is great if you want to have maybe an explosion and, you just want to have a quick flash of light. This is just an easy way to get that look that you might be after. And, it's all 3D. It works with, the built-in cameras and lights and everything. So definitely has a lot of benefits. Okay, let's go and move on. Now, I'm going to be using a few third-party Trapcode plugins, but I'm also going to show you how to do it with just the built-in plugins in After Effects. So right now, we're going to create some volumetric light. So I'm going to create a new solid, and we'll make it, say, 800 by 800. We'll choose OK. And then we'll pre-compose and leave all attributes in the comp. And when you do that, it will keep the same size of that layer as the composition. Then if we double-click on it or alt-double-click, we can then see the comp we're in. And then what we're going to do is change the solid color to a light blue. And choose OK. Then we're going to take the ellipse tool. We're going to draw a small circle. And we're going to feather it just a touch. And then we're going to duplicate that mask and feather it, just like earlier. And then duplicate that layer, change it to add, scale it down. And then we're going to create another new solid. And this one a little bit darker. And then we're going to add another ellipse. And we'll feather that out. And we'll change it to add. So the idea here is just to create a light source. And as many adjustments as you can make, feel free. I've just made another copy. And maybe this one we can lower the opacity on it. And we might even, scale down some of the center points so that we have a smaller point of origin. So that looks pretty good. We'll go ahead and call this light source and choose OK. And we can close it. And so now that's in our comp. And we can change the transfer mode to add. And then we're going to make it a 3D layer. And then also, we're going to go into the transform settings, go to auto orient, and set that to orient towards camera. And that way it's always looking directly at the camera. Now the other thing we need to do is make sure it's not affected by the lights in the scene. So we'll hit AA, bring up those material options, and turn accept lights to off. And that way it will always be on and bright. Then if we hit P, we can look at the position, select the light, we'll hit P, and then if we alt click on the position for our light source image, we can pick whip the position of the light. So now, if we move the light around, the visible light will move with it. So that's helpful. And then we can take our light source and, make some adjustments, maybe scale it down. Here's a very cool shortcut that is pretty helpful when working with lights and weird things. Control Shift H. And what that does is hide all of the helpers in the composition. And you can turn it on and turn it off pretty quickly. And that way you can see what you're looking at, because it can be a little bit annoying sometimes when those are in the way. Now, the thing about this light is it's not as vivid as the reflection. So let's add a curves adjustment. And let's see if we can boost some of the color. So we'll turn that blue up, maybe bring the red down just a touch. And we can also play around with the contrast curve. And that looks pretty good. So that way it's kind of bright and, you know, kind of a real hot spot. And if we move the light around, just looks a little bit better. Okay, now I've shown you how to do this with the built-in plugins, but I'm actually going to move forward using a trap code plugin for generating the light called Lux. So we're going to create a new solid, and we'll call this Lux and OK. And we'll choose Effect, Trap Code, Lux. And we can turn up the intensity here and maybe turn up the saturation. And the cool thing about this is that it behaves very realistically. And we can change the mode to add as well. And this basically creates volumetric light. And what's cool about this is I can duplicate the light here and say move it over. And it automatically, you know, renders out the light. And then I can even change the color of the light, say maybe to like orange or something, and everything updates in my scene. And even the ground has the, you know, correct lighting on it, although it does look a little bit too bright. So what we can do is lower the opacity of some of these planes so that it doesn't create as bright of a specularity. So for now, I'm going to shut that second light off, and then we're going to take our orange energy ball and bring it out. And then we're going to change the mode to screen. Now we want to change the orange to a bluish color. So we'll add a hue and saturation effect, turn on the colorize, turn up the saturation, and adjust this until it's bluish. Now we want to make it a 3D layer. So we'll turn on the switch, then we'll right click, and we'll choose transform auto orient. And then we're going to change orient towards cam, hit OK. And then we're going to hit P, and bring up the position for the light, and we're going to alt-click on the position, and we're going to link it to the light position. And then we also need to bring up the material options and turn off accept lights. So now we can see our effect. It looks pretty good. Maybe scale it down just a little bit, and then let's animate our light. So we'll turn on the keyframe for the position, and let's move our light off into the distance. Then we'll move forward a few seconds and we'll push it down here. Have it kind of fly past the camera almost. And that looks good. Okay, now we're going to add some particles, and I'm going to be using Trap Code Particular. However, if you want to create this with CC Particle World, check out tutorial number 30, and you'll be able to create a perfect 3D stroke using that built-in plugin, so you don't need any third-party tools. So we're going to be creating this streak of light that follows our energy. And we're going to do that by creating a new solid. It's going to be Particular. We'll choose Effect, Trap Code, Particular. Now, I am using Trap Code Particular version 2, which just came out. Now, I'm not going to be using any of the new features, so everything should work in the older version. However, some of the names of settings may have changed. So, first thing, we're going to change the emitter to a light emitter. And then it says, hey, you need to make sure you name your light emitter. So, okay, we'll hit OK, and we'll go to our light, hit return, and we're going to call it emitter. And then if we go to particular, we could just, you know, refresh this by going to lights. And now you can see we have a bunch of particles following our light. And that's exactly what we want. We're going to turn the emitter size down to 0 by 0 by 0. And also, we want to change the particles per second to none. We want to just control it here at the top and just give it enough particles so that it's an even stream. Now, for the particle size, we want to turn that down maybe just a little bit to 4. And then also we'll change the size over life to a curve that kind of scales it down. And then we'll change the life of the particle to maybe 0.75 seconds, so it's very short. And then we'll change the transfer mode of the layer to screen. Looks like the particles are spreading out a bit, so we'll increase them. And maybe turn the opacity down. That looks pretty good. Now, the other thing we want to do is go into the physics. We're going to go into the air down to the turbulent field. And then we're going to turn up the effect position. And what that does just kind of gives it a little bit of randomness on the tail end. So that looks good. The other thing we want to create is the particles that are sort of falling off the energy bouncing on the floor. So we can start with the particles that we already set up and duplicate it. And we're going to make some adjustments to this. So we do want it to come from a light, but we're going to turn up the velocity so the particles are flying around everywhere. And we also want to turn up the velocity from motion. And that way the particles sort of are being flung forward as the animation gets pushed forward. And that's going to be important as they bounce on the surface. Let's also turn up the opacity so we can see them. Maybe turn the size to 2 and maybe turn up the randomness a bit. Now we also want them to bounce and have motion blur. So if we scroll down, there's a lot of settings, but it really does make sense when you start thinking about what you want to be achieving. So let's just close some of these so that we can look at it as a whole. So we want to bounce. So if we go into the physics, turn the air down, we want to change it from air to bounce. And so now we have a bounce option rollout, and we can select the floor layer that we actually want them to bounce off of. And what layer that is our ground plane. So go change it to the ground plane, and hopefully these will start bouncing. We also want to turn the gravity up. So now they're going to come down, they're going to hit that floor surface as they're beginning to do there. And you can see that they sort of are bouncing as they hit it. And we maybe want to turn up the velocity a little bit so that they kind of go off in a little bit more random kind of direction. And for these particles, let's make the life a little bit longer. So if we go into the particle settings, we'll set this to maybe 2 seconds. And we'll go down here. And the slide amount is pretty cool. You see how the particles sort of hit the surface and slide forward? That's what that's going to allow us to do. So very cool. Now we also want to turn on the motion blur. So if we turn on the switch for the motion blur, and then turn on the motion blur for the comp, those particles will immediately start reacting properly. Now it looks like they're getting a little faded out. So if we go into the rendering options, motion blur, we can turn up the opacity boost and maybe even turn the size of the particles down to 1.5 so they're not too large. And also we probably don't need as many particles for this particular simulation, so we'll turn this down to just a couple hundred, maybe turn the velocity from motion down. All right, it's looking pretty good, but we still have this problem of the black edge that kind of pops up because of our stabilization. So what we're going to do is reverse track everything we've done. So we're going to go into the comp settings, and what we need to do is turn them up so that they're higher than the size of the comp. So maybe 1600 by 900. And that way, none of our shot goes out of the frame. Although we do need to make a few adjustments to some of the layers. For example, the Lux layer needs to be the same size as the comp. So we go into the solid settings, click on make comp size, same with these particle settings. We'll just go make comp size, make comp size. So that's all you need to do to make sure that that works. And then we take our street footage comp, drop it into a new comp, and then go into the settings and switch it back to the original size, which is 1280 by 720. Now we're going to add a quick expression. So we're going to take the street footage and drag that comp until we can see both comps. And then in the street footage to comp, create a null object. And then we're going to go ahead, make some room here. We're going to go to the bottom here, and we're going to bring up the transform settings, which are right here, and mainly the anchor point and the rotation. And what we're going to do is take the null object from this second comp, make some space, and bring down the transform settings here. And then we're going to alt-click on the position, which brings up the expression control, and we're going to pick whip the anchor point of the original layer. And then we're going to alt-click on the rotation, and we're going to pick whip the rotation of the original layer. And the only difference here is we're going to add a quick expression to the end of the rotation. We're going to do star or times negative 1. And that's going to reverse the rotation. And by using the anchor point as the position, that's also going to reverse the motion. So it's a little bit tricky, maybe hard to understand, but the good news is it's going to work. So here we have street footage number 2. We're at the very first frame of the animation, and we're going to take our street footage and bring up our parent column, and we're going to parent it to the null. So all that, and look at this. All of our motion has been reversed. Our shot is nice and shaky again, except the only difference is all of the animation is fitting perfectly inside of it. So let's do a quick RAM preview and check it out. Okay, looks pretty good. Maybe some final color correction. Take the curves adjustment. Maybe just brighten it up just a bit. Add a little green to give it a nice tone. And I think this looks pretty nice. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this tutorial. We took a lot of different techniques like the particles and the light streaks and the ground reflection or specularity. And we combined it into something that can actually be used for a shot. So hopefully you guys see, you know, how these different components can be used together to create some interesting effects. And of course, you know, the idea is to encourage you guys to, you know, take some of the various techniques that you will be learning throughout the tutorials and combine them and create things that you want to create, you know, and that's what it's all about. So, and also check out the forum. You know, I've seen some really cool stuff happening in the work in progress forum. That's a great place where people can post, you know, examples of things that they're working on and get some good feedback. So that's a great thing. We also have the blog, which has tons of great tips and information. And of course, we have some great products, which we recommend. And we have the new Action Essentials 2, which is great for blowing stuff up, you know, creating titles and motion graphics. And, you know, just check that out. It's pretty self-explanatory. Anyway, my name is Andrew Kramer, and we'll see you next time.